World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Love my job. Am I allowed to say that? I love my job, even though I don't really know what it is. And my life has radically changed over, I'm looking at up here on my screen. This is show 2028 now. Can you guys think of anything that you've done 2028 times? I mean, that's pretty amazing, really. The longevity of keeping this thing going. And I want to thank all of you because I was saying a little bit before I went in, before we went live, and what we call the queue. By the way, those of you who are watching on any place other than CoachDaveLive.com, any place other than CoachDaveLive.com, you're missing the audience participation, which is found only at CoachDaveLive.com. So if you'd like to interact with us, you have to go to CoachDaveLive. Spence, throw that up real quick again, because I get emails about it. How do I ask questions? CoachDaveLive.com. If, no matter where you're watching it right now, Facebook, Patriot Party News, Rumble, wherever you're watching it right now, if you want to be able to interact with us, you have to go to this page right here, CoachDaveLive.com, and click on Join the Queue. Now, when you join the queue, then you get to come in here and you get to ask questions and be audience participation. However, one thing, we've had this discussion before, you may have to download Google Meet to be able to do that. That's on the phone, maybe, or on the computer. I don't know. But if you want to join us, be part of the crowd, click, go to Coach Dave Live right now. You can click off of whatever you're watching along. Go to join the queue, and you can come in and you can ask questions or throw mud at us, tell us how stupid we are, whatever you want to do. It's interactive because we believe that you learn by asking questions. You learn by participating. I spent my whole life in church where I sat there and I wasn't allowed to say anything. I just had to eat whatever some guy at the pulpit was serving down to me. And he gave me a very, very bland diet. Betty, give me a thumbs up. Bland diet, right? How many have had a bland diet of Christianity? Bland, meaning not much to it, just kind of the basics, meat and potatoes. Never threw any onions in there or any spinach, or just bland meat and potatoes Christianity. Well, that isn't this. And what we do here sometimes is makes you a little bit uncomfortable because we have the, we throw a little bit of garlic on the meat, and you're not used to eating that garlic. And so it doesn't taste very good. By the way, I hate garlic. I hate garlic because the way it makes you smell afterwards. Right? When you eat garlic, everybody else has to enjoy or suffer the rest of the day. So anyway, so one of those, I'm in one of those moods today. I wrote a commentary. I don't want to take time to read all the commentary. Spencer, I just sent it to you, okay? So maybe you can pull that up there real quick. My commentary today, posted at newsthese.com, is, scroll down, Spencer, I am a proud conspiracy analyst. That's what I wrote. It's pretty good. It's always pretty good. But the point of it is, you know, we talked yesterday about the barge hitting the bridge coming down. And if you question the main narrative on it, what are you? What are you? You're a conspiracy theorist, right? You're a conspiracy wacko. So I go through this and I explain real quickly. I'm just going to say this because I'm going somewhere. What does it mean to conspire? What is a conspiracy? I'm not going to take the time to read it, right? Con, remember, I love words, right? Conspire. Conspiracy, there, thank you. Conspiracy is defined, is right out of Webster's, a combination of men for an evil purpose. An agreement between two, me and Betty can have a conspiracy. Me and Paul Goslin can have a conspiracy, right? It's a combination of two or more persons to commit some crime in concert, particularly a combination to commit treason or excite sedition or insurrection. So spire comes from the word spirit, breathe, respire, expire, right? So breathe means air. Con means together. So a conspiracy simply means you're breathing the same air. Are you with me on that? So you're all on the same idea. The Bible warns us of conspiracies. Satan, scroll on down a minute. Satan leads a conspiracy against the Almighty. It continues to this day. So the battle isn't what they tell us what it is. It's a conspiring. It's when two or more people come together and question anything that is a conspiracy. And then theory is nothing more than an idea. What, a theory of evolution, right? The theory of whatever it might be. So a conspiracy theory is simply two people getting together to question a theory. Folks, we do that all the time. I hope you do that all the time. Where do you want to go to dinner? I don't know. What's a conspiracy theory? Roger likes this and Paul likes this. And so we conspire and we come together and we go to Texas Roadhouse, right? So again, see, they take words and they box us in with words. Is it wrong today for me to say something about that bridge coming down stinks? Does that make me a conspiracy theorist? First of all, I changed the word, said I'm a conspiracy analyst. I look at that thing and said, there ain't something right there. And you know what? I post it on Facebook. You know what the people on Facebook say? Coach Dave, there you go, spreading rumors. Coach Dave, you shouldn't be doing that. What are you talking about, dude? I'm trying to get you to think here, will you? Will you think? And then I list a bunch of conspiracies that took place. But the real battle's over right and wrong, right? It really is. So if it's okay with you, I want to jump into a conspiracy today that it's all around us and we just seem to never want to talk about it. I want to talk to you about giants, the Nephilim. I remember about 15 years ago, maybe it might have been a little bit longer than that. I don't remember for sure, when I first heard the word Nephilim. I'd been in church. I'd been in Catholic church up till my 20s, and then I quit going to church because I was serving the devil. And then in 1988, at the age of 35, I came back to Christ. I came back to the kingdom. So I was 35, 36. I was in church till I was probably 40, 41, 40. I was in church a long time and never heard anything about the Nephilim, about the giant. How about you? Am I alone out there? Had you guys ever heard anybody, anytime, ever in your church talk to you about the Nephilim giants? Anybody? I hadn't. I found it on what would you call extra biblical stuff. I ran into L.A. Marzulli, and I live in the land of legend where there are mounds all around us. And I had no idea, And I would say this, that probably, first of all, when I begin to mention Nephilim giants, many people say, oh, there he goes, off on those conspiracy theories. Well, you dummy, a conspiracy theory is two more people investigating something. Anybody else out there a conspiracy theorist? Anybody else out there? Huh? I am. You should be. Should be a conspiracy theorist because that means you think. So I live here in the middle of what L.A. Marzulli, who's one of the world's leading Nephilimologists. I live right in the middle of Nephilim Central. And Nephilim are nothing more. They're mentioned in the Bible. I'm going to give you some good facts here today, okay, folks? So those of you getting ready to tune out, you can tune out if you want to, but you're dumber than a rock if you do, because I'm going to give you some valuable information that you can research on your own. Were there really giants? Were there really? Okay, well, where do I start here? Let's start with number one. No, I don't want to start there. Start with number three. Did you guys know this? This is the stuff that's kind of... You know, when I talk about people who are Christians and Christianity and blah, 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 did you know that there are 32 mentions of giants in the Bible? 32 different times. Let me just read a couple, okay? The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterward. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men and bore children to them, those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Numbers 13. There also we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, part of the Nephilim. We became like grasshoppers in our own sight. Deuteronomy, like the Anakim. They're also regarded as Rephaim, but the Moabites called them Ammon. These were giants, is also regarded, yada, 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 for Deuteronomy. For only Og, the king of Bashan, was left of the remnant of the Rephaim. Only one giant was left, Og, king of Bashan. Behold, his bedstead was an iron bedstead. Its length was 9 cubits and its width 4 cubits. Why? Because the dude was a giant, all right? Joshua said to them, "And if you are numerous people, go to the forest and clear a place for yourself in the land of the Pezerites and of the Rephaim, since the," are you with me? On and on and on, mentions of the giants, all right? So this isn't something somebody just, no, hang on, I want to make a distinction here. There will be those who will believe that the Nephilim are fallen angels. And I'm not going to get into that right now. First of all, I want you to understand that there were, in fact, giants on the earth in those days. It just told us, hey, Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. Go to the top. Go to the top, Spencer. What's the first one say? The Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also afterwards. When the Son of God came into the daughters of men, bore children, they were mighty men, were old and men of renown. So and Genesis right there tells you they were giants. Now, I'm not going to get into it today, whether they were fallen angels and what they become and whether around right now. I'm just trying to show you that they were here, okay, that they existed. Now, oh, Lord, this is so much stuff. Pull up number four. Who were the Nephilim giants of the Bible? Who were they? First of all, how many even knew that they were even mentioned in the Bible? Before you started watching Coach Dave, maybe, right? Huh? You had no idea. So these are Bible scholars debate the true origin of the Nephilim. Scroll down there a little bit, Spence. Look, I'm going to put all these in the chat. And then, folks, listen, you say, Coach, I'm watching on Facebook. How do I get to the chat? Well, when the show's done, you can go to Coach Dave Live and click on the link. At the bottom of the link, it'll say show more, and every one of these links will be there that you can follow on your own. So it tells you, who were they? Nephilim may have been giants in the Bible, or they may have been something much more sinister. Bible scholars are still debating it. Okay, it's open for the debate. Two parts of this verse are in dispute. First, the word Nephilites or Nephilim, which some Bibles translate as giants. Others, however, believe it is related to the word Nathal, meaning to fall. So it goes on and explains what's going on. Scroll on down, Spencer. I'm not going to spend all the time doing it. The second term of sons of God, right? Hang on right there. Second term, sons of God, is even more controversial. One camp says it's fallen angels or demons, and another attributes to the righteous human beings who were mated with ungodly women. So there's all kinds of debates about it. Giants in the Bible before the flood, and all of it. Folks, we just went down through that. Scroll on down, Spencer. This is a good, I think, pretty, stay right there. This is, I think, a pretty good, you know, unbiased. Moses sent 12 spies to Canaan, scout out the country before invading. Joshua and Caleb came back, said they're giants in the land. They came to, said we were grasshoppers in their sight, right? So, folks, you can go through that. Giants certainly existed in Canaan after the flood. The descendants of Anak, or the Anakim, the Anakites, were driven from Canaan by Joshua, but some escaped to Gaza, Ashdod, Gath. Centuries later, a giant from Gath emerged to plague the Israelite army. His name was Goliath, 9-foot-tall Philistine, was killed by David, yada, yada, yada. The giants are all through the scriptures, okay? They're all through them. Did you hear this in your Presbyterian church, your Baptist church, your Lutheran church? In all your days in church, did anybody ever talk to you about this? They never did me. I never. Scroll down a little bit more. This, again, is pretty unbiased. Sons of God, who are they? For in the resurrection, they may neither marry nor given in marriage because the angels aren't supposed to procreate. So yada, yada, yada. Christ's statement implies that angels, including fallen angels, do not procreate. Scary, but not supernatural. Tall men, extremely rare in ancient times. Tall men were extremely rare in ancient times. Describing Saul's Israel, first king, the prophet Samuel, was impressed that Saul was a head taller than others. The word giant is not used in the Bible, but Rephaim, Raphaites, Astaroths, Camions, Emites, Shavkum. They're different names, folks, but there is no doubt that these guys exist. Recent breakthroughs show the condition can also be caused by genetic irregularity. Yada, yada, yada. Okay, so go to number seven real quick. I'm going to give you This is a video. You want to play it at 1.5 speed. Folks, I'm trying to give you some information. You're going to have to do your own research. Don't believe it just because I said it, and don't not believe it because your pastor doesn't believe it. All right? Find out for yourself. So this is a 16-minute video. We may not put it all. Put it at 1.5 speed. This guy is the author of The Antichrist and the Apocalypse, and he's going to talk to us about 10 facts about the giants in the Bible. Go ahead.
The Christian Bible, and it contains all kinds of unusual. The book of Enoch is perhaps the most controversial book that didn't make it into the Christian Bible, and it contains all kinds of unusual facts. For example, did you know that the book of Enoch taught that the fallen angels taught women how to use eyeliner and eyeshadow, or that it reveals the name of the seven archangels and the 20 princes of the fallen angels, the demons?
All in the book of Enoch. All in the book of Enoch. We'll give you a link to that here in a minute.
Gigantic babies called Nephilim. Or that in the underworld, down in hell, there are four hollowed out places for four different kinds of people who have died. That's right. Today, we're going to go through 10 of these shocking, weird, fantastic facts that are in the book of Enoch. And stay to the end, because I'll reveal to you what the book of Enoch says about the enormous height of these demonic babies sired by angels and born of women.
Okay, folks, now listen. The book of Enoch is not what they would call established canon. The book of Enoch is not in the Bible. However, it is quoted, I think, three or four different times in the Bible. So the book of Enoch, let's say whoever decided to put the book of Enoch, not to put it in the canon, in the 66 books of the Bible, they excluded it. It would be like, well, they said, well, that's not totally a holy book, but it is a historical. It's a historical book. So the book of Enoch explains what's going on around those days, but it's not an official book of the Bible. You got the difference? So the fact that the book of Enoch isn't a true book, they're not saying that. They're saying it's not canon, established word of God, but it is a historical rendering of what's going on. Go ahead. Book of Enoch.
Women, they make LeBron James look really tiny. Fact number one, the book of Enoch presents 200 and exactly 200 angels called watcher angels, or in Greek, egregoroi. And they are appointed by God to watch over, guide, and tutor humans. However, these 200 watcher angels take wives. They lust after women. They take human wives, and they cause these women to conceive half
this is in the book
gigantic
of Enoch.
Children called the Nephilim. Interesting fact number two. The leader of these 200 watcher angels that have sexual relations with women, his name is Shem Yaza, or Sam Yaza, or in Greek, Semi Aza, or sometimes you see Semi Jaza. It's the name in Hebrew that can either mean gazer at the heaven, gazer from heaven, or gazer of the name, as in the name of God.
And what's interesting about before some of you have a conniption, I'm telling you that you need to understand this, what this guy's telling us, and you don't have to believe it, all right? But you have to be at least aware of what is being taught or hidden in Christian circles. Go ahead.
Now, this is he's not Satan. He's a different demon who leads the guardian angels into having sexual intercourse with human women. And what's even more interesting is this leader, Shem Yaza, is worried that the other 199 angels aren't going to go through with the deed. They're afraid to sin against God. And so he leads them to make vows, oaths, to commit this sin. Here's what the book of Enoch says. Quote, I fear you will not indeed agree to do this deed, and I alone shall have to pay the penalty of a great sin. And they all answered him and said, let us all swear an oath and bind ourselves by mutual imprecations not to abandon this plan, but to do this thing. And so they all swear on Mount Hermon, we are going to go and seduce women and have babies with them. Fact number three. So the 200 watcher angels go down, they seduce human women, and they have babies with them. And this all happens during the time of the patriarch in the Bible named Jared. Jared is the actual father of Enoch, who allegedly wrote this book. And you can learn about Jared in Genesis 5:18. He lived to be 962 years. And at this time, quote, this is in 1 Enoch, and there was great impiety and much fornication, and they went astray, and all their ways became corrupt. And the sexual immorality led by the angels and these giant babies is the cause, according to Enoch, for the flood that comes down upon the earth in the time of Noah. Fact number four, one of the 200 fallen angels that seduces women is named Azazel. Azazel, also in scripture, is known as the scapegoat, and he is a demon who taught humans metallurgy, taught them how to make weapons like swords, spears, shields, and also taught women how to take pigments and to color their face, their cheeks, their eyes, their eyelids, eyeliner, everything. So there's this one demon who's pointed out specifically for corrupting men for war and women for seduction. Shocking fact number five, God commands Saint Michael the Archangel, who appears in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and in the book of Revelation, to go and bind up, to arrest the 200 fallen watcher angels and place them deep into the earth. Quote, and the Lord said unto Michael, go bind Semeaza and his associates, who have united themselves with women so as to have defiled themselves with them in their uncleanliness. And when the sons have slain one another and they have seen the destruction of their beloved ones, bind them fast for 70 generations in the valleys of the earth till the day of their judgment and of their consummation, till the judgment that is forever and ever is consummated. In those days, they shall be led off to the abyss of fire. So this time period of 70 generations seems to be in Enoch, the time period between the fall of the angels and the birth of the Nephilim giant children, and then the coming of the flood of Noah. All right, those are our first five interesting facts about the book of Enoch.
Okay, we're going to stop right there. Put the rest of it in the chat. If you're interested, this is really, really good, really eye-opening. 10 facts about the Nephilim giants and angel-human hybrids from the book of Enoch. You say, Coach Dave, I don't believe in the book of Enoch. It's not part of the Bible. The Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. Well, it's quoted in the Bible. The book of Enoch is quoted. Hey, Spencer, Google that real quickly. Is the book of Enoch quoted in the Bible? Because hey, every word in the Bible's true is what they told me. How many times is the book of Enoch quoted in the Bible? He's going to Google and says, what? The New Testament contains three references to Enoch, the book of Enoch. All right? For somewhere along the line, they decided it wasn't worthy of being in there, but the book of Enoch is very enlightening to this stuff, if you want to. So click on number 9 real quick, Spencer. I'm all over the place. I know I am. Some of you have never heard anything about this. I know you haven't heard anything about this. So here's the book of Enoch, which you can find it online. All right. And I was just messing around. Scroll down there a little bit, Spence. Because you go to the book of Enoch, let's stop right there. There are the chapters. There are the chapters in the book of Enoch. Right? You can read it. It reads just like the Bible, but it's not on the Bible. So click on number 9, if you will, Spencer. Click on chapter 9. What's it say? And then Michael, Uriel, Raphael, and Gabriel looked down from heaven and saw much blood being shed upon the earth and all lawlessness being wrought upon the earth. And they said one to another, the earth made without inhabitants cries the voice of the crying up to the gates of heaven. And now to you, the holy ones of heaven, the souls of men make their suit, saying, bring our cause before the Most High. And they said to the Lord of the ages, Lord of lords, God of gods, kings of kings, God of the ages, the throne of thy glory standeth unto all the generations and ages. The name, yada, yada, yada. So they're going to seek it as it is thou, and they're going to go down, boom, boom, boom. So this is all in the book of Enoch. Say, hey, raise your hand. Say, Coach, I ain't never even heard of this book. I ain't never even heard of this book. Well, it's mentioned 3 times in the Bible, and it's what they would call an extra biblical source, right? Extra biblical, meaning a corresponding evidence outside of the Bible. Well, I'm rocking hard here. I'm rocking hard. I got a lot of stuff. Pull up for me Fritz Zimmerman. No, wait a minute. Yeah, Fritz Zimmerman. This guy's from, I had Fritz on the show before. Been on the show before. He is the number one Nephilim giant researcher in the world. He's from Indiana, South Bend, sort of up by South Bend. He's written a book called the Nephilim Chronicles. I have it. I could go over and grab it right now, show it to you. And he has evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence of giants in the world, especially in the Ohio Valley. So this is about 3 minutes. Put it out. It's longer than that. I just want you to hear Fritz Zimmerman so you don't think he's a nut. Okay? Go ahead and play it. It's about 1 point.
Hidden in the heartland.
I have a degree in radio television communications from Purdue University. Started my career as a local weekend weatherman. Then I went into production where I was doing show choirs, weddings, a myriad of that, but I was really looking into doing documentaries and historically found that we had burial mounds here in Northeast Indiana, which I didn't think anyone knew about. I had a double major also in history and I didn't know anything about them. So the plan was go out, photograph maybe 7 or 8 burial mounds, make a short documentary on ancient Northeast Indiana, and go from there. Well, in doing that, I started finding giant skeletons, even locally around here. Well, it just so happens that 2 blocks down the street from where we're shooting right now is our public library that has the second largest genealogical library in the country, only second to Salt Lake City. So it means that I have access to every county in America's local histories. So as I began to expand out, I found more mounds, I found more giants. And 12 years later, after visiting 700 mound and earthwork sites, I had my travel guide. And it took me that long to not just have a list of giants,
but to
figure out where they came from. And that was a lot of work. And
put it in the chat. Put it in the chat. Okay, so Fritz Zimmerman is the expert. He has a book called The Nephilim Chronicles. You can go see it. Fritz has been on site. Fritz has been in my house. I know Fritz. He ain't a goofball, right? He isn't a goofball. So bring up for me now, folks, I'm trying to give you a real overview here real quickly. Okay? Bear with me. Coach, which one was you looking for? Go to number 8, because I found this. See, we're in Nephilim Central here, right? So L.A. Marzulli told me, right? Oh, yeah. Started at, because this is a whole thing about the mounds here in Ohio. There are more mounds in Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, here in the Midwest, than any place in the world, right here. That's why L.A. calls it Nephilim Central. So go back, start this at about the 5-minute mark, because this guy went on Google Maps or whatever, and he Googled it, and he found, what did he find? Right here, right over there, right over there? Go ahead and play it.
The dating of this stone mound, based on some wood they found
right over
inside
there.
This stone pyramid mound, came out to be about 1,900 years old. It says, in 1822, Joseph Sampson published an appeal to preserve this venerable mound because it was by far the noblest monument of antiquity now extant in North America. In spite of this laudable, if perhaps slightly hyperbolic appeal, beginning in 1823, somewhere between 10,000 and 25,000 wagon loads of stone were removed from the mound to provide riprap for the Licking Reservoir. Now,
right over here, Buckeye Lake. They took the stone mound up, the largest mound in North America. They disassembled it and they went over and they lined the banks of Buckeye Lake with it. This is historical evidence, folks, of this mound over here. Keep going.
Now, here's where it got a little surprising for me. I thought the mound was totally dismantled when the dam was being constructed. It says, although the destruction was extensive, it was by no means complete. Charles Whittlesey examined the mound in 1838 and described it. Even now, a commanding object rising among the trees of a thrifty western forest. He writes, 15 feet of the apex was removed many years since by a believer in Robert Kidd's treasures, and a cavity sunk nearly to the bottom with much labor. It says people were still carrying off stones for masonry in 1850. It says in 1896, Warren K. Moorhead documented the surviving remnants of the mound as extending 189 feet northeast, 207 feet northwest, average height 8.5 feet, and a maximum height of 12 feet.
Okay, so this is the Nephilim mound over at Legend Valley where they have those demonic concerts, folks. This is where those concerts are being held, right? So we know that these mounds existed. We know that they're all, well, go back to Fritz's interview real quick, Spencer, if you could. I'm going to open it up here. I know for some of you. Scroll a little bit forward. See if Fritz doesn't start talking about some of these mounds. Keep going. There was one. Go back there. Stop right there. This is what Fritz does. All right?
That story is relevant. Grave Creek is in Moundsville, West Virginia, and that's the largest mound. Did you know that at one time that there was a museum where you went in and saw the giant skeleton from Grave Creek? I do have an interesting anecdote because I was just at Grave Creek last month. And the curator was upstairs and they were redoing the thing. We said, well, we came all this way to get photographs of the Back Creek snow or the Greg Creepstone. He goes, well, we've put that away. Like, put it away. Like, well, what do you have up there? Well, we just have a photograph of it. I'm like, all right. It's like, well, we just didn't think that.
So they're hiding from us the evidence. Now, hang on a minute. Why do they want to do that? Because if the existence of giants were ever proven, evolution would go out the window. Do you understand that? Do you understand that? So the atheistic Luciferian government has a direct interest in not getting the truth out. Okay, got another one for you. Go to, oh, I just had it. Go to, I get so much stuff up here. Oh, 20, number one. Go to number one. Go to number one, right? And play it at, I'm going to play this one really fast because it's going to go in the chat. 20 shocking discoveries of giants that you won't believe exist. Go ahead. There's evidence everywhere, friends. Go ahead.
In human history in different forms. Sometimes called ogres, giants are thought to be creatures so big that the earth trembled when they walked. Many people believe that these stories about giants are just fairy tales, while others believe that giants did exist in our physical world. In this video, we will show you the top 20 most mysterious discoveries of giants. Chinese giants. In 2017, archaeologists unearthed skeletal remains of unusually tall people in Shandong, China. It was believed that these giants may have lived in China some 5,000 years ago. The human-like bones were very huge and strong, and had heights of up to 1.9 meters. Along with these bones, pottery and various jade items were also found. This archaeological finding was more amazing because people in China are not known to be that tall. If China had giants, imagine how tall prehistoric people from other countries would be. Alien skull in Peru. A renowned Peruvian archaeologist discovered what is said to be mummified remains of an alien creature. This creature has a triangle-shaped skull, which is nearly as big as its 20 feet long body. How is that even possible? This does sound like Reddit stories, doesn't it? The strange details of the skull point to the fact that this could be an alien. What's more, scientists have been unable to link the physical features of the skull and the alien body to any of the ethnic groups that have lived on Earth. Seems like this is an extraterrestrial being. The giant skeleton of Saudi Arabian desert. A recent gas exploration activity in a Saudi Arabian desert uncovered the ancient skeletal remains of humans of a phenomenal size. Archaeologists are conducting various studies to find out the true facts relating to these skeletons' origin. However, local people and religious scholars link these...
Okay. Go back there. I want you to see, folks, the size of this thing. The guy's digging beside it. Look at his size and what he's digging. Right there is good.
Skeletal remains of humans of a phenomenal size.
Look at that.
Archaeologists are conducting various studies to find out the true facts relating to these skeletons.
See him? The man's smaller than the head. Go ahead.
Since origin. However, local people and religious scholars link these gigantic skeletons to a story mentioned in the Holy Quran. The story states that God created a race of tall, big, and powerful people who could put their arm around big tree trunks and break them. This race was named Ad. This powerful race later turned against God, and they were destroyed. Giant skeleton of India. Could there have been a race of giants in India? Well, crowds flocked to an archaeological site where a group of explorers unearthed the skeletal remains of a human of phenomenal size. Measuring 18 feet in height, this must be the tallest human skeleton in India. Entire explorations was supported by National Geographic. Experts believe that the giant skeleton was part of remains of ancient people who were created with phenomenal size. Red-haired giants. Archaeologists found remains of red-haired giants in Lovelock, Nevada. Lovelock Cave was first discovered in Nevada in 1913. In the cave, miners found buried treasures, artifacts, and remains of what appeared to be red-haired giants known as Sitaka. The Sitaka are thought to be a legendary tribe of red-haired cannibalistic giants. Miners in Lovelock Cave also found mummified remains of a man having a height of around 6 feet. All of these instances are proof that there was a time when giants did live on Earth. The footprint of God. In addition to skeletal remains, another thing that proves giant people did exist are footprints. Nearly 100 years ago, a giant footprint was found by a hunter in South Africa. Locals nicknamed it the Footprint of God. The footprint was 1.2 meters long, and according to estimates, its owner must have stood 27 feet tall. There are no marks or carvings on the rock indicating that the rock was stepped on while it was in molten form. Estimated to be 3 billion years old, the footprint cannot be of a modern human, because at the time, life on Earth was in microscopic stages. West Virginia giants. In ancient burial mounds of West Virginia, a number of giant skeletons have been found. Some of these ancient giant skeletons were also found in the early days of coal mining. More were discovered when the ground was later being excavated for other purposes. Also, in 1838, when archaeologists were excavating the Great Creek Mound, which is in present-day Moundsville, West Virginia, they found mysterious giant human skeletons. These skeletons of giants measured a staggering 8 feet in length. Giant skeletons of Ecuador. Legends talk of a city of giants located in Ecuador, deep within the Amazon rainforest. Researchers discovered megalithic structures and pyramids that stood 260 feet tall and 260 feet wide. These structures were built with huge stones weighing about 2 tons each. Initially, explorers concluded that the huge stone structures were natural. Later in the year 1964, locals discovered abnormally large bones, including a shin bone that looked like it belonged to a very tall human being. This led archaeologists to conclude that giants had actually lived in the area. Vampire Skeleton of Bulgaria. Next up, we take you to Bulgaria for a discovery that will give you goosebumps. Can you imagine seeing someone stabbing the heart of a dead person to counter the fear that the corpse might return to feast on human blood? I'm sure you can. But have a look at this story. During excavations near the Black Sea, a group of Bulgarian archaeologists found remains of several medieval giants. The massive skeletons were pierced through the chest with iron rods, supposedly to stop them from turning into vampires. This scary story illustrates a pagan practice that was common in villages centuries ago. Bhima's Stove. You will be amazed by this story from India that proves the existence of giants. This is Bhima's Stove. The monument is placed at Pancharathas Complex in Mahabalipuram, India. Geologists and archaeologists believe the rock arrangement isn't a natural formation. Rather, it must have been arranged by a giant called Bhima. It is believed that Bhima was 12 feet tall. Bhima used to set up fire beneath the metallic cooking pot. To this day, the underside of the pot has soot remains on it. According to local legends, Bhima was granted invincible strength when he met the reptilian. Giants of Death Valley. Giant bodies were found in an underground network of tunnels in Death Valley. The bodies were found with remains of prehistoric animals, precious items, and huge weapons. The giant human skeletons were 9 feet tall and about 80,000 years old. A newspaper in San Diego first reported the news in 1947, but the story along with the giant remains seemed to have disappeared in thin air. How can such a historic discovery just fade away? What a strange world indeed. The Serpent Mound. In 1894, an Ohio farmer was hunting foxes when he stumbled upon something of major archaeological interest. He discovered graves that contained ancient giants. The graves were located in Hillsboro, Ohio. Interestingly, the graves were right next to a serpent mound. When scientists looked into the graves, they found large-sized bones and other body parts. Many believe that these graves are the same graves that have been cited in the biblical account called the Nephilim. Some people believe that the whole story is a plain hoax. The Bible. It would be a rational position to take if we said that biblical evidence isn't worth much. Nevertheless, many historians have used the Bible for various references. When it comes to our topic, the Bible is a good example, for it states that giants have existed since the times of the Old Testament. For instance, it narrates the story of the big Goliath, whom David defeated with a stone and a sling. Giant ape tooth. A German scientist visited an apothecary in Hong Kong looking for dragon teeth. During his visit, he stumbled upon a large molar in a dusty drawer of trinkets. The most interesting fact is that the tooth did not belong to a dragon or an ape. Rather, it was evidence in the existence of a gigantic creature called a pithecus. The pithecus is the largest species of primate ever discovered and is believed to have partial human origins. Members of this species stood about 10 feet tall and weighed 1,200 pounds. The tooth found by the German scientist dated back 9 million to 100,000 million years. This story kind of reminds one of King Kong, doesn't it? Mexican giants. In March 2015, a photo went viral on social media showing gigantic human skulls. These skulls were allegedly unearthed in a small village in Sierra de Tapalapa in southern Mexico. It was later revealed that the picture wasn't authentic. It's a graphic artist's work. Nevertheless, the picture did spark a discussion about a giant race known as Quinametzin that supposedly roamed Mexico. 20 feet tall Zihua and 10 feet tall Tilcacin were said to be members of this family. An amazing discovery indeed. Mysterious giant skeleton. In the Krasnodar region of northern Caucasus, a team of Russian archaeologists made a wonderful discovery. While excavating a historical site, they found the bones of giants. The bones are believed to be the remains of ancient people belonging in the Bronze Age who lived about 4,000 years ago. Archaeologists revealed that the male skeletons measured a full 2 meters in height, while female skeletons measured approximately 1.7 meters. The Giant of Ohio. This is a giant story from Ohio. Workmen engaged in excavating a cellar located on Webster Street across from a mammoth skeleton one day. The large-sized skeleton clearly indicated that the human to whom the skeleton belonged was of a giant stature. The skeleton measured 7 feet in height. Most of the bones of this gigantic skeleton crumbled as soon as they were exposed to the air. Hence, archaeologists were not able to ascertain whether it was of American origin or Indian origin. One thing is certain, the remains must have been interred a long, long time ago. The giant skull of a cyclops. But first, do us a favor. Click that like button to inspire us. Subscribe to our channel and click the notification bell, and you won't miss any interesting videos.
You guys can watch them. Put it in the chat. So the evidence that these giants existed is overwhelming. Now, question we'll ask ourselves is, being a conspiracy analyst, why don't we know this? Where are these bones from these giant clearly discovered beings? Where are they? And see, it all comes back in my mind. The reason I'm throwing it out there to help you to understand that much of the biblical history has been hidden or changed. Yeah, Paul, can you imagine if we could get into the history of the Vatican, what maybe is being hidden there? Okay, I'm going to pause. We'll stop. Somebody, come on in. You can think I'm nuts if you want to. This stuff ain't coming from me. This stuff's all over the internet, folks. All over the internet. And have you ever in your life been in a service where your pastor spoke about it? Come on in, Rochelle.
Thanks, Coach. You know, you had said you think they're covering this up because it would disprove evolution, but it would disprove a whole lot more than that. And it would prove the Bible. They are hiding this stuff Because if we understand that there's a spiritual realm, which our science only deals with the natural.
Amen.
So if we understand there's a spiritual realm and this, there was a war in heaven, there is people posing as people, things posing as people who want to kill us, things make a lot more sense. So if you're just going around blind, thinking nothing in that book is true, they talk about giants, how ridiculous, you're not open-minded and you're going to be deceived. Not only does this hit on evolution, but that part about the watchers coming to earth and mating with women is in our Bible. That is in our canon.
It's right.
In Genesis 6. And it's also, again, when in Jude, what is he referring to? The ungodly deeds that these things did.
So
as long as they can keep you thinking that it's just the elite and not something more powerful, maybe creator.
Amen. So what they've done is they've hidden the evidence from us, folks. They've hidden the evidence. Now, look, this can take a spiritual turn, talking about the Nephilim today being the demons, whether demons are fallen angels. I'm not even getting into that, okay? Not even diving into that today of what are the spirits, what are fallen, what's happened to the fallen angels? Are they coming back? Are they locked under the ground? No, I'm not even talking about that. We have to first come to the realization that they did, in fact, exist. These giants existed. And much of Christianity today has no idea. Keith, come on in then, Alan.
Yes, sir. That's pretty much the truth. You know what's going to happen. I mean, was it the glory of God is to conceal a thing, and the honor of kings is to search them out. And you know what's next, don't you? After these giants.
What, Keith?
Flat earth.
All the lies being exposed, huh? Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. See, look, the Bible tells us that men's hearts are going to be failing them from fear for things coming upon the earth. Are we going to see a return of these fallen giants? I don't know. Alan, come on in, then Roger.
Coach, Revelation chapter 9, all those different beings that's being talked about there, they're real. They're real creatures. It's going to be huge. Their wings are going to sound like the voice of many waters. They're going to scare you slap to death. They're going to be able to walk through bunkers, people hunkering in their bunker, Bill Gates and them. They're going to be able to walk through mountains. Look, no one is going to be able to escape what's coming out upon this earth. All this stuff's been locked down in the heart of the earth, and God's going to supernaturally release it. And you're going to be able to see them. You're not going to be able to shoot them. You're not going to be able to hit them with a missile or a Cobra helicopter. They're going to be able to tear up folk for 5 months. This stuff's coming. This stuff's coming. It's real. It's real as we're sitting here talking about it. It's in the book of Jude. It tells you. It's in 2 Peter chapter 3. It's in the book of Revelation chapter 9, chapter 16. There's all kind of fallen angels and stuff that God's going to release and are going to bring judgment. And to prove that it's true, you can go back to 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 13, whenever King Saul had fallen, and he went in there, lost his anointing, went in there to that witch of Endor. She conjured up Samuel, and the King James Version says the witch got all scared. Saul grabbed her and said, "What's wrong? What'd you see?" She said, "I saw gods, plural, little g, ascending up out of the earth." Then you can go to Deuteronomy chapter 32, and you can read in there around verse 16 and verse 17, right in that area, and it's going to talk about new gods that's newly come up that their fathers feared not. Why did their fathers fear not? Because they wasn't doing the things that allowed God to have to release these fallen giants and angels to bring judgment upon the earth.
Amen.
Alan, I should have had you as a guest here today, man. That's some good stuff. Folks, this is so real. It is so real. And you walk into the average church and you talk about the giants, they'd throw you out. Have any idea what you're talking about. Roger, come on in.
Serious question. Why is it important that we as Old and New Testament Christians know more about the Nephilim? And that's a serious question, because I want to raise the topic when I'm out and about. What is it that is important as it relates to the Bible and God's Word? In 50 words
or less. I think it shows that the infiltration of the spiritual realm into the natural realm. And what is what happens when the demonic realm is able to access the bodies of human beings. And what we see right now, Roger, I believe this. Some folks say I'm nuts. I believe we see walking the earth right now people who are not fully human. I believe it's the seed of the serpent, the Nephilim. I think it is impacting everything that we have today. I think many of the people that we see operating in Washington, D.C., or Bill Gates, I'm not saying Bill Gates, but some of these high and mighty guys, I don't believe they're human, Roger. I believe they are what we would call hybrid beings. That's my take on it. And I think it's important that we understand these things in the Bible, how the Lord, how he created it and how the world fell. That'd be my long answer to this short question.
Thank you.
All right. John, come on in.
Hi. This is Pastor John from Upper Michigan. Just blessed with the show.
Thanks, brother.
I just letting you know about the book Enoch. I was with the Campus Crusade in Stevens Point, and I'm over there checking my email, and I'd been just reading about Enoch, and I hear the Holy Spirit say, I want you to read the book Enoch. And it was like, what? I mean, that's Apocrypha. Now, anything with Apocrypha I've been taught in the ministry is, you know, that's either voodoo or you don't touch right. that. Or, right. But I would suggest everybody read the whole Bible before you start, at least get that foundation. But I did read the book of Enoch back then. This is my third time on it. The last time I got so much out of it. And the other book was Jasher, too. So, yes. And lately I've been studying in the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Book of the Giants.
So, John, we have to understand that the Dead Sea Scrolls revealed to us books that we had never seen before. Historical books, right, John?
Yeah, that's right. And so I'm still on that search, and I did post it with the church, with people in the church. And like I said, I get a lot of slack for it, you know, but yep. I still post it. Because I want to, you know, it says if anyone adds or takes away, but what if they take away too? I always put that out there.
Oh, that's good. Adds or takes away for this time, huh? A lot of stuff.
So you kind of stay, I won't accept all Apocrypha because I've seen things wrong. But again, I won't diss them either, you know?
No.
So I just want to say, hey, great job. Yeah, go ahead.
Thanks, John. That's why we have to understand that if the Bible quotes from those books, there must be some validity there. There has to be some validity.
And I would suggest people to read the book of Jasher because it really fills in some cracks. I'm not saying to teach doctrinally out of it, but it does give you the history of where the pharaohs came in and everything. So, and Cain, Abel, Nimrod, and I'll end with this is that King David talked about it, you know, and apparently people read it. So, God bless. Though I just am excited to hear this morning.
Thanks, John. Thanks, hey folks. Be careful. You bring this up in your local church, and they'll boot you out. They don't want to go there. Yeah. Oh, man. Beth Jackson, come on in, Beth.
Yes, I hope I'm coming through okay. I'm driving.
Yes.
For me, when I understood that it was a seed war and that there really were giants in the earth, and it opened up a whole new reality to me in the Bible. And I think for a lot of people, I think if we can, you know, well, prove that it is true and it is a seed war. It's okay. So critical. And my grandson's learning mythology in school. He knows all these mythology gods and everything. But I think if we can open that to them and show them that it's biblical, it's in the Bible.
That's
you
right.
know, I think we can really capture our youth we're going to lose them if we don't.
That's right. The supernatural. It's the supernatural, right, folks? Look, if the giants existed, it proves the Bible. It doesn't disprove it. Why are we so afraid of this? Rochelle.
Thank you, Coach. Yes, actually, the Dead Sea Scrolls did more than they proved the Old Testament. Okay.
Yeah.
What happened when they uncovered those books or those scrolls was that every single word in your Old Testament matches. So nobody can continue to go around and say that the Bible, it was not real or forged or et cetera, or that it came after the fact. These prophecies were made after this. No, you can't do that now. Beth, I think, was just mentioning with the Greek and Roman gods, very possible those weren't just myths.
That's right.
Hercules
could have been a Nephilim, right?
They could have been the products of angels mating with women, giving you this unsanctioned race of demigods. And also, Coach, if you hide the story of the Nephilim, then the God of the Old Testament, boy, he is wicked, because he just destroyed the whole world for no reason. Okay, he just killed everything for no reason. It wasn't because the fallen angels came in and screwed up our DNA, just like they're doing now.
The seed war, right, Rochelle? Seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman, between his seed and her seed. And what was his seed? Oh, it wasn't good. It wasn't just your neighbor who doesn't believe in Jesus. Oh, no, 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 no. The seed of the serpent. Boy, that'd be a study. That is so, so dark. Where did all these things come from? Alan, come on back in.
Coach, you know, Jesus talked about this stuff in Luke chapter 17. And just as it was in the days of Noah, Coach, the only thing we're missing for being in the days of Noah are these fallen angels being released. That's the only thing. Listen, our sexual immorality is off the charts worldwide, our paganism. I mean, my God, Congress, you want to talk about myths, gods and goddesses, just go to Congress and look up in that dome. They're all there. Amen. All the Greek gods, Roman gods, they're all there. Jupiter, Zeus, the whole nine yards is right there in Congress. We want to know why Congress is all jacked up.
Amen. So ask yourself, hey, Spencer, see how good you are. Pull up the age of Congress. So, folks, what would make a guy like Mitch McConnell hang on to power at his age? How old is he? He's like eight. There they are. Members of Congress, age of members of Congress. Can you click on it? Folks, okay, I'll say it. Is it possible that Mitch McConnell isn't all human? Is that possible? What was her name? Dianne Feinstein? She was 93 years old or something like that. Still in Congress? What? What? Charles Grassley's 89? Feinstein, 89? 89? 89, McConnell, 80. What? Folks, something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. Come back in, Beth. Were your hands still up, Beth? I didn't know if you wanted to. Craig.
Sorry.
Okay, Craig.
So, I don't know if you realize you were ground zero to COVID. You realize that?
In what way? What do you mean?
Didn't after the festival that's up top next to Sky High, didn't they have a big flu thing outbreak?
Oh, I forgot that story. Yeah. Yes.
And they always do it.
I'll tell the story. Go ahead.
Okay. That was the ritual to bring it to America.
Oh, man, Craig, you just connected a dot.
Yeah. So.
Oh, my goodness, Craig, I'm goosebumping.
Yeah, well, you better goosebump, okay, because that was the spirit ritualistic event to bring it through the gods into America, okay? And so then what's the next way that they got it out? And I brought this out when it happened. You know, I talked to – when they had Dr. Sherry Tempe, I said, I can tell you exactly how it spread. I can tell you exactly what their plan was. Because what was their big thing in China in 2019? It was their crowning moment was the World Military Olympics.
Mm.
And guess where it was outside? Just a little bit outside Wuhan. Wow. So what a better way to spread a virus and get it across the world and have 173 countries with the military people going to 173 countries. I mean, if you have a virus, you got to spread it, right?
Yeah,
you got to have means. You got to have a means from it has to carry it from one human to another. So how are you going to get to 173 countries at one time? Well, you have the World Military Games, and you give it to those people, and whether they get sick or not, they carry the virus part back to their country. And then what happens is you plan it right before the Chinese New Year, where you shut the country down for 3 weeks, and everybody goes on cruises and around here. And where did the coronavirus, where did it start showing up in cruise ships?
All right, Craig. Okay, Craig, I'm going to reclaim my time to wrap this up, man. Thank you. Spencer, I just sent you a link. Pull that thing up here. Folks, let me tell you this story, okay? Back in 2019, they have this over the hill, Nephilim Central, right? I just showed you that they took those stones over there and reinforced Buckeye Lake. And the largest pyramid in North America was right over there at the heart of Lost Lens, the concert venue over there. So in 2019, where they're doing this thing at Legend Valley, they do it every year. They have what's called Lost Lens every year. And in 2019, after the concert was over, the guy who runs it, who owns it, driving by up at, I'm at Sky High, I just bought Sky High. And he's driving by in his golf cart, and he sees me, and he stops and gets out of the car and walks across the land. He comes over, and then we start having a dialogue, because there were 44,000 people here celebrating this, whatever the heck this thing is going on at Nephilim Central. Now, he doesn't know it. He just doesn't know it. And so we have the conversation going, and I'm talking small talk, you know, big crowd, people camping, blah, blah, blah. And he says, you know something? 2019, September, end of September 2019. And Steve, the owner says to me, you know something, Dave? Strangest thing, about 25% of our tickets were sold in China. I never thought anything about it. What? I'm thinking, first of all, why would that many Chinese come over here? But okay, I mean, they flew over here for this concert. What the heck's that all about? And then what do you think happened in November? Why, we had to close our schools for an outbreak of the flu. Now, hang on. That was before COVID was COVID. Our school, local school, was infested with a virus that caused them to close down school right at Thanksgiving. They extended the Thanksgiving holiday. They made it an entire week to try to manage the overrunning of the flu. And isn't it amazing that just 2 months before, conspiracy analysts here, just 2 months before, 25% of 44,000 people, which would be 11,000 people from China, showed up at this spot with a Nephilim Central, according to L.A. Marzulli, and Lakewood local schools had to close 2 months later. Can somebody do Twilight Zone for me?
Hey, you know, 11 is a number of chaos, by the way.
Stop it, Craig. Stop it, right? So see, folks, when I tell people this, they don't get it. They don't understand. The supernatural has left the building. The supernatural is not in the building anymore, the church building. They don't talk about, now they'll talk about the supernatural and speaking in tongues and dancing and waving flags and healings, but they don't understand the demonic supernatural assault upon our nation and the connections back to the information that they won't let us have so that we can understand what's going on. We think it's a political war. We don't understand the depth of evil that is right now, as Alan was kind of alluding to, descending upon this land. And the Bible tells us that in those last days, men's hearts are going to fail them for fear for the things coming upon the earth. What might that be? What would it be, those things coming upon the earth, that men would literally be having heart attacks when they see it? Wow. Wow, what a time to be alive. I'm not trying to scare anybody. If you've never heard of this kind of stuff, all of these links, baby, you go look at them yourself. There is no doubt that giants roam the earth. No doubt. What was the impact of filming? And what is that impact on us today? Which is a question Roger Weaver asked. So dig in, baby. All that stuff in the chat. Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. I'm a proud conspiracy analyst. We'll see you tomorrow.